ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Mark, and we're in chapter 3. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. We move from this objective of the kingdom. What was it? To do good, to save souls. It was an objective that would be pulling back a little bit of the veil. Every time you walk with Jesus in a way that is conspicuous, you're pulling back the veil that God saves. It is a message. It is an objective. He's trying to expand the kingdom. Now, the opposition is going to be there always. Isn't that true? You know, if you get a brand new car, they used to have that old commercial, "If my friends could see me now." Now, there's something insidious about that, right? Why? Well, because we want to show off. And we want them to be envious in that commercial. See, in that context. But the sad reality is that it literally touches on the truth, doesn't it? You get something really great and somebody envies you for it. Ecclesiastes talks about that. He says, "I've seen this evil under the sun, that when a man is blessed, he's envied of his neighbor. He can't enjoy it. He can't have full enjoyment because he feels guilty or bad or whatever because somebody else maybe says he had bad motives or whatever." Well, Jesus was doing some pretty amazing things in a great multitude, and in a multitude that was really great was following him. And the Bible says in verse 20, it says, "And the multitude comes together so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they say he is beside himself." Now, we're going to revisit that in a minute because this is the exiting from probably Nazareth, and it's probably his family because they show up again down in verse 31. Because it says they went out to get him, and then in verse 31 it says they came. But let's set that aside for a minute. We'll come back to it. It says in verse 22, after these multitudes came out, it was so impressive that he couldn't even eat. They couldn't even eat. It says, "And the scribes came down from Jerusalem and said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. And he called them unto him and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan?" Mark makes more about the demonic world than any of the other gospelizers. And what that tells us is he's trying to show us in this gospel of the kingdom that there is something very real going on. Because his emphasis is the kingdom, whereas the king was emphasized in Matthew. His deity was emphasized in John's gospel. And in Luke's, he was a human. He was really a man. But Mark is kind of bringing us this real picture of this world that you and I live in. Now, what's really cool is that as believers, the Bible tells us that God has taken care of us. It says, "I've given you authority to trample upon snakes and scorpions and all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means harm you." And that is, in one sense, located to the disciples, but it's also ours as well. The Bible says that he that is born of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one touches him not. 1 John chapter 5. The Bible says it this way in the book of Colossians, and you might want to write this in your margin just as a little backstory on angelology, because demons are simply fallen angels. The Bible says in Colossians, in chapter 2, in verse 15, that he spoiled principalities and powers, and he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in the cross. So he spoiled them. That means that he literally disarmed them. He took away their shields, their swords, their fangs, their claws. He disarmed them. Now, because they are still here, they don't have that panoply of armament. But they do have big mouths. And what their big mouths do is they go forth to deceive. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, that Christ was revealed for the purpose that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, the devil shows up over and over again, and Jesus acknowledges his existence. You see, years and years ago, the only thing the devil could use was try to get people to be irreligious in the sense of not believing in God, and therefore they wouldn't believe in demons. Well, now people are all supernaturally in tune. So what they do now is they have so many, you know, ideas superstitiously that they love demons. They don't believe in a bad devil. They believe in, spirits. Okay? Oh, my spirit of my great uncle, he talked to my medium or whatever, and they're all comfortable and cozy with the darkness. They're cozy with the demons. In New Age philosophy, they call them spirit guides, and they're simply demons. People invite them in. Yoga, for instance, as innocent as it may sound from what they're putting out there, the word came from the Eastern religions, meaning to yoke. You yoke with a spirit guide. Yoga means yoking. We act like it's something to play with. It's fun. Well, I suggest to you it's dangerous. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 19, what say I then? That an idol is anything, or that anything which is offered to an idol is anything? No, but I say unto thee that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you have fellowship with devils. Well, people flirt with it, you know. It's like, oh, this is fun. Look how scary that is. Oh, turn the lights down. Let's get scared. And now, it's not the monster from the Green Lagoon or something. Years ago, they were these little reptiles. They were ridiculous costumes. That was the scary shows when I was a kid. Does anybody remember the late night movie where this little blob comes up and it would move real slow and it would suck the bones out of people? Do you remember that? Oh, and the great ants. You know, there's a nuclear thing and the ants are getting us. It's not like that. We laugh because, those are ridiculous. How many of you maybe remember when you'd come home and your dad would be sitting there watching Star Wars and there's this guy in a big furry outfit walking, you know, and it's like, Dad, really? You watching that? That's a big deal back then. That's a big deal. They were going to far off land. How do you know they didn't look like that? How do you know they didn't look like that? But my point is, now we're all about demons and the dark side and crossing over, and it's like we're so comfortable. And guess what? The wicked, immoral guy always wins. He beats them back. He wins. I want you to know that they're going to be carried away one day, and they're going to be shrieking just like the demons because they will have been consumed by them. The Bible says very clearly that there is a Satan. Jesus made it clear. He says, how can Satan cast out Satan? They said he cast him out by his Beelzebub. You may remember the novel, The Lord of the Flies. That's what the word Beelzebub means. He is known to be the, as he says here in so many words, the prince of devils in verse 22. So this is not just a devil, it's the prince of devils. And it says he hath Beelzebub, which means he's over Beelzebub because he has him. And he's casting out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Beelzebub also had the idea of being a dunghill god, which reminds us of Dagon, a dunghill god, which is where the flies came from. They came from the dunghill idea. He is the lord of the flies. He's the lord of the nasty and the unclean. If you look at verse 30, it says, because they said he had an unclean spirit. Okay? So this thing that they've suggested tells us something beyond the borders of Israel. What does it tell us? That there were devils that were acknowledged by the people of God in Israel. Now, if you remember, one of the big problems they had in the Old Testament was they were given completely over to idolatry. I mean, they had idols under every bush, on every high hill. They were worshiping all of the gods of the nations. Not only did they want the king like everybody else had, but they also wanted the gods that everybody else had. Because the gods that everybody else had led them to ecstatic experiences of immoral gratuitousness, uncleanness. You maybe remember when Jesus said, when you pray, do not pray as the heathen do, with vain repetitions. The Greek word is vatalagia. You notice the word logia. It's the word for word. Jesus is the logos. What's logia? Vatalagia is an onomatopoetic word. It means it sounds like it. Pop, click, snap, vata, 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 vata. What they did was they would speak in tongues. They'd get all whooped up into an ecstasy and their tongues would begin to bat, 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 and they were just ecstatic and they felt like they met with the gods when they lost themselves in it. So they knew about the demons and they said, he's a Beelzebub. And Jesus said, it's not Beelzebub at all, it's Satan. And Satan means accuser or adversary. And he said, if Satan casts out Satan, he can't stand. And it says he has a house and he has a kingdom in verse 20. Before it says, if a kingdom is divided, it can't stand. If a house is divided, this is showing he's got order. You see, the devil is not omnipotent. Only God is omnipotent. And people like to think, well, here's God, here's the devil, like yin and yang. No, it is God and then the devil's way down on the list. Why? Because he's an unwilling servant of Almighty God. He has nothing on God. He says, I would be like God. He was a beautiful covering angel. He had the seal of perfection in him, we're told in the Old Testament. He had beauty. He had status. He had wisdom. These are the things that subvert you and me, right? Beauty. Wisdom. Boy, I'm so smart. Status. Right of life. All the things. And so he had all that. And he uses that in our lives to mess us up. Because he's the devil. He's the adversary. He comes against us. The Bible says he walks to and fro throughout the earth, seeking whom he may devour. And that means he wants you and he wants your children. He does. And he's not taking a nap, and he doesn't only show up on Sundays. He's there every day. That's why we need Christ every day. We need to have a walk that is in conjunction and connected in our minds with the reality that is constantly being shown us in this book, Behind the Veil. There's a whole host of demons. The Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 6. It says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's an echelon. There's principalities, there's powers, there's rulers. We recall back in the book of Daniel where the Bible says that Daniel was praying, dear God, help us, help us, help us. We're getting ready to go back and we're not ready. And God sent an angel to answer him, but he said he would have been there earlier. But the prince of Persia, which is not the physical prince, but the spiritual entity, the prince over Persia, withstood me. And I had to wait till Michael, the archangel, came and helped me. And then I've been now come to give you a message. So Gabriel shows up. These angels are fighting all the time. You and I, we just can't see beyond the veil. In fact, everything about the world rams itself against your senses. And you think, this is it. No, this is not it. You want to know what's it? You want to know what the sign is now? Among the others that are biblical, I'm going to give you one that's right in your face every day. It's when you go to the mirror and you're getting older. And you're melting. And your hair's falling out. And you're getting grayer. And you're heading toward what? The cemetery. We're all on a long walk to the cemetery. And God says, listen, I've told you everything you need to know. Because the sign, it literally splits time. Jesus died on a cross in real time after having done all this awesome stuff and having beat the devil. The Bible says he was manifest to destroy the works of the devil. He disarmed them with the cross. We just read that in Colossians 2. And here we are now, free. Free because the Son makes us free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And if the Son has set you free, you shall be what? Free indeed. We walk in an awesome place. The psalmist even foresaw it when he said, he has placed me in a wide place. How much wider is our place? We have a Christ who's been revealed. We have a devil who's been defeated. We have a salvation that is impeccable. And because of it, there's opposition. And the opposition came from the religious community in this section. And he just says, that's not true. And he says in verse 28, you might circle the word verily. The word is amen. He says, verily, or most assuredly, is what the word means. He says, this can be confirmed as with an oath when he says, amen. He says, I want you to know something. All sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men. And blasphemies, wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. Every sin can be forgiven. He goes on, he says, but he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Now, this is a huge word. A lot of people are like, wow, I think I might have committed that. And do you know there was a couple of nonsensical fools who were guys who talk radio? They get on there and they challenge people across America to get on YouTube and blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And kids did it all over the country. Just saying all kinds of nasty things on YouTube about the Holy Spirit because they thought it was a joke. Ha, 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 ha. And what we have to be reminded of is that in our generation, young people know very little about God. So let me help you with this verse.
Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts. And I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30. We hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.